John One Wright, and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman. Now, this is Friday morning early, and Mr. Eastman comes in to report on his burnt fingers. This Channel One Wright, or over, I don't know which it is now, the 24th of March, 72. Channel One, whatever it is, right or over, and the beginning of the visit, Mr. Eastman, early Friday morning, the first thing, he reports on his sore fingers, the 24th of March, 72. Channel One, right or over, and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman, the early this Friday morning, the 24th of March, 72.
What the hell you got?
I tipped it up, you know, and I looked the wires all over, and I couldn't see where there was any wire burned off or anything. So I put my fingers on it there to see if it would come warm on the simmer.
Yeah.
And I turned it on the simmer part, and geez, that thing went pop again, and that spot right on that burner where I had my fingers, it turned red hot, right, and just quicker than scratch, you know, like that. Indeed, of course, you know, the minute that you felt the heat, you jumped your hand off in there.
Yeah.
But boy, I had burned them two fingers pretty bad.
Why, Mr. Eastman?
I never see anything, heat get through anything so quick in my life as I did. Well, when I come to take the back off in the stove, that switch, see, was burnt in there. And of course that shoved the whole juice right onto that simmer wire, see? Right off quick, buzz, geezer, just like that, and that thing was red. Well, I didn't suppose that electricity would heat anything in the world as quick as that did. Boy, that was just like that, and God, that was right red hot.
Lord help us.
And you got two of your fingers.
Huh?
Got two of your fingers.
You got two of them right there. This one here is the worst. This one here wasn't so bad, but this one was quite bad.
What'd you do to it?
Well, she had some ice cubes in there, and I put an ice cube right onto it and bound it right onto it there. And they claim that that'll kind of take the sting out of it there, but geez, boy, that thing there stung the beat all. When I got home, we had some stuff there. It's a spray, purpose for burns. And took the cloth, you know, and sprayed it right on the cloth, and then put it right on there and wound it right on. And after a little bit, well, that took the sting out of it. So, they don't feel bad this morning, but Jesus, that was the quickest doggone burn that I ever see in my life.
Well, I never heard
and
of it.
That come right up to almost a white heat. Right there in just a little spot, see? There's just a little spot right in that burner, about an inch long. Now, you see, that must be burnt in two right in there, see? So that element is gone. And so they're going to get a new element for that. There's one of them ground birds there on them brown thrashers on there.
Yeah, he's telling me to put something out there.
Gee, look at how he pecks into that. He goes into that just like a woodpecker.
Yeah. He does.
And it's suet he's after out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's suet. They never get enough of that.
He's really walloping it. Oh, I never see one of them brown birds like that wallop something the way he does with his head.
And sometimes there's two of them up there.
Yeah.
And you done that at the preacher's, Mr. Eastman.
Huh?
And that all happened to you at the preacher's.
Yeah.
When you go to the preacher's house, that ought to be a protection to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see if I can get the rest of that.
Guy said he wore out his back yesterday.
Wore out his back? I didn't have anything to do with
his
back.
He said he did.
Mr. Eastman, that ladder that you had me going up and down on with that batch of shingles, that's the worst thing I ever done. Now I can get up and down the ladder just me.
Young lad, he came up and down, he stuck his head over the edge of the rope. He says, "Here's your shingles, but I ain't going to stay." He says, "It's too much elevation for me."
No.
You know why he had to leave early, you know? You know what? He had to get back home to turn off the cook stove. They had a roast in the stove at 3:30.
Oh.
Then you're there. House broke, aren't they?
he got less nerve than any big football
man. He's a football man.
Oh, he is?
Well, yeah. He don't play now, but he came up here to the university to play football.
Yeah.
He's a big fella.
Yeah.
Why, he's scared of everything, and he's...
I asked him what he thought of some of his fellow students up there that had hair clear down on their shoulders and whiskers all over their face. And I said, there's some of them running around without any shirt on and their hair all over their chest. I said, they don't. I said, they must be. They're some kind of creatures, I said, but they can't be human beings. He says, I've seen them. He says, I've seen them. Gee, I come down through Gainesville there one day.
Mr. Eastman, sit down here a minute and I'll go out with you.
Must have been about six months ago. And honestly, there was one fellow walked down the street, and he was the darndest looking thing that I ever saw in my life. He didn't have any shirt on, and he was just like a grizzly bear, you know. And hair clear down on his shoulders here, and whiskers all over his face, and the mustache, and you could just see just a couple of eyes sticking out just like that.
That fella, the priest, or the preacher, what was his name?
Priest.
What was he, Episcopal?
Episcopal priest.
Huh?
That fella yesterday.
Yeah.
I never saw him before. But he's one of Nick's friends.
He's what?
Nick. He's one of Nick's friends.
The boy that set up
Yeah.
now Nick's been around here 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But he's got a face, hasn't he? What does he look like? Does he look like a Polack?
Well, I think that he might be, according to the way I started talking about the Polacks, you know, and the expression that he had on his face there. I thought perhaps he might be from Polish descent.
When you start talking about making iron, that just was his meat. He liked that. And you know, he turned to me and said he liked the iron foundry. Did I like him?
Yeah.
I said, no, I didn't like the old thing. But he liked them.
Yeah. Well, you see, the Polish people was all great molders. They had a lot of them up in Wandsville, where I come from. There was quite a lot of Polish people around in there.
And they all done heavy work then.
Yeah.
Well, you notice, now he wasn't so tough looking now, but did you notice he had big limbs?
Yeah, he was quite a heavy set fellow there.
Yeah. If he'd get out and work a little bit, he'd be quite a man, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Why is it? About it. What are they going to do? Here, just a minute, Julian. What are they going to do about that stove, Miss Eason?
About the stove?
Right.
Well, she's going to call up the company that they got it of and get a new a new burner and a new switch. Because the switch there, one thing that made me look at the switch, there's a light on there that when any burner is on, that light is lit, see? And the burners was all turned off and that light still stayed lit. So I took off the back of the stove and there was this one wire, the terminal was all just melted right off, see? And the wire stuck out there. Well, I took and taped that and I thought maybe that's what might make it stay lit. Well, we turned the breakers back on and it still stayed lit. And I said, well, now, wait a minute, I'll pull this other wire off and tape that and see if that don't stop it. So I did, and that stopped it. So that's the way we left it. See, they got to get a new switch to put in there.
Are they going to?
She said as quick as she got the switch, well, she'd let me know, and then I could come up and put the switch on.
You got the house ready for them out up there when they moved, didn't
you? Yeah.
Did you do much of that?
Why, I put in a new entrance up there for them and septic tank and plumbing.
Porch.
What? The porch? Well, I put a new screen on the porch, so.
Yeah, just the screen on the porch.
Yeah.
It seems like to me you work up here all day and then go around and work at night.
Well, I do some. I have to try to keep them happy.
How long has the old stove been out?
Huh? No, it's pretty near a new stove.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. They haven't had it only, I guess maybe they've had it a year, maybe a little bit more than a year.
Is that the way they do it?
You ever see one do that before?
The new ones break down just like the old ones?
Well, once in a while.
Now, she buys that in Ocala.
Yeah.
Down there, most of them go to Ocala, don't they?
Yeah, you take the Orange Lakes, most all of them go to Ocala and McIntosh. They're about half and half, half Ocala and half Gainesville.
Uh-huh. If I were to go to Ocala, I wouldn't know which store to go to.
I was up to Gainesville there, this man Warrington he works for the city, and he owns this place down here in McIntosh, and I was doing some work down there, and they got a place up in west of Gainesville, up in there over by 75. They got 7 acres and a half back in there, and they got 3 houses on it. Well, this one house that they lived in just before they moved down here to McIntosh, they moved out because it was getting so noisy around up there, they didn't like it. And the furnace in there, the furnace pipe come undone. So the people that live in there called him up and told him about it. So they wanted to know if I'd go up and fix the furnace pipe up. I went up with her and fixed the furnace pipe. We started from home, you know. When I said to her, I said, you know, it's a funny thing. It's kind of a bad predicament to be in. She says, what's that? Well, I said, be lost in a strange city with a strange woman. You know, she didn't know whether to get mad or laugh. Well, she says, I'm not lost. I said, I didn't say you were. I said, I'm the one that's lost.
Well,
that night when he come home a little early. I told him what I told her about that. He says, you know, he says she is a strange woman now, ain't she?
He went along with you. Miss Eastman, we got to thinking about it afterwards. You know, when you're telling this fella, I don't know his name, but he's a nice fella.
Yeah.
And I talked to him a little out there, and he's nice to talk to. When you was telling him about that, about your sister-in-law, I thought of it later. don't you know, when you said it got to you so bad you couldn't... You couldn't eat and all like that. I think that's the heart of it.
Yeah.
And he didn't hear that. You went to work and you couldn't keep.
That was funny. It was funny just the same, buddy. I couldn't sleep and I couldn't get my mind down to work and I couldn't eat. And you know, to think that your sister-in-law would look you right in the face and be nice to you and at the same time digging you in the back.
Yeah. Well, and all that you had been doing for her.
Yeah.
Golly. Well, Faye, it'd be the same thing. Mr. Eastman's been up here working, getting us straightened out. It's just the same thing. You can go out there and start talking about that old Fossil up there. He ain't in the couch. We just put up with him, you know.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
We don't want him to be the president of anything. It's the same thing. It's the same thing for Dad Byrne.
Yes.
Mr. Eastman, the only thing, the only difference in you and me is that I'm used to that. That happens to me all the time. And you know, I tell you the truth. I think it happens to the preachers.
Might be.
I think people run them down pretty much. Even when they don't know them too well. You have a lot of that going on. But it just got to you that time, and you won't forget that, will you? Well, have things pretty well straightened out up there now?
Yeah.
They don't last forever.
It tickled me, you know. They were going to do such a wonderful thing, going to show the people of Orange Lake what a great thing that highlight was going to make for them down there. They got six people out to listen to it.
What was that? That high, what is it?
That highlight. That, they're building a new fountain down there, you know, on 318 over back there. They're going to have highlight down there.
What is that?
Well, just a gambling outfit.
Yes. How in the world did that ever get in down there is what I want to know.
I'll tell you how it got in down there. Old Cockrell and some of them other moneyed fellows, they went around and they hired the niggers to vote for it. And they drawed them into the polls to vote. Went right out, they really worked for it. And they didn't get it by too big a margin then. And if I had done what I should have done and what I thought of doing, I don't believe they'd have got it.
What's that?
I should have put right on a bunch of meetings down there and explained to the people just what it was going to be like.
That's right.
Well, they caught you sleeping, Mr. Eastman.
But, here. The Minstrel Association down in Ocala was putting up a darn big fight, or they said they was.
Yes.
And I left it up to them where I should have went ahead and done a little on my own. Of course, it's nothing to me. I never will patronize them.
Well, you won't patronize them, but it'll be something to you your community will be different
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
It won't be the same place down
no.
there. You're going to have all them people working over there.
Well, but it only runs 3 months out of a year.
When is that? In the winter?
In the winter. It runs for 3 months.
Well, what did Cockrell then want with it?
I'll tell you what Cockrell wanted. Well, the way Cockrell worked for it, they bought his land and paid him a damn big price for it. And he sold it to him with the understanding that he'd help him get that in there. That I didn't know till after they'd got it all voted in. If I'd have known that beforehand there, why, it would have made a little difference. But if I'd have went right ahead, right around the county, and put in a few meetings right around there and explained to the people just what it was going to be like, I got in mixed up in a deal. Well, I wasn't mixed up into it any more than I am this deal here, but they had that same thing up north there, the Vernon Downs. See, they got that Vernon Downs racetrack in there.
Yeah.
And they went on and, oh, gee, they was going to draw the people in off in the thruway there and get their money and one thing and another off of them races. I'll bet you there ain't 5 people in 100 that comes in off in the thruway to see them races.
Yeah.
And the rest of them are all just the community fellows that come in, that goes to them and bets their hard-earned money. I know of families that had bet their last dollar on them horses and lost, and they didn't have nothing to eat for the next morning for breakfast. And the little kids was squawking because they didn't have nothing to eat, and the mother said, well, we'll go over to Grandma's by and by. Now, that's just the same as what's going to happen right down here. Them poor people will go in there, and they'll bet their last dollar on them damn highlight games. And lose it.
Well, you see, they won't have to go down to Bob Becker's garage now.
Well, that'll be a different set. They'll still keep gambling down at Bob Becker's.
I believe if I was going to gamble, I'd just as soon be down to Bob Becker's.
Yeah. Well, the difference is that down at Bob Becker's, they play cards, and they do have a little bit of a chance. Down there, somebody else is doing it, and they're just betting on something that they don't know.
Yeah, that's right. The machines. I'll tell you, I was over there in the Shiloh community, and they took it hard over there.
Shiloh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you see, there's just one little bit of nest left over there. The rest of it, the racehorse people have. And you know, once that land gets in the hands of the racehorse people, they never in the community anymore.
No.
You've got no community left.
Well, it's that same way now. They holler what a wonderful thing it is for Marion County to get all them horse farms in down there. Well, you know, I can't see it. Now, right down here below Reddick, I'll use that for an example down there, and it's the same all over. You used to go down through there, and you know they raised a pile of tomatoes.
Yes.
And vegetables and stuff. You'd see 100 or so people working out there in the fields. See? You go down there now, and they got just a fence around there and a half a dozen horses in it.
Yes.
You see what I mean that way? Another thing is this. Them racehorse people, well, come on. Most of them are millionaires. They've got their money off from somebody else, generally unfair. But they'll come on and they'll buy them farms, and all they want is the very nicest of it. And they will pay more than an ordinary farmer can pay for the farm to get it.
Yeah.
And then when he gets it, they puts all them people out of work. Then they go around and they bellyache to the tax commissioners to try to get their taxes down. Some of them will even go and put part of it under the green belt. Now, I worked down there at the Robin's Nest a number of years ago when they first bought that down there. I went down there and fixed up their buildings. Well, on the other side of the road, well, the farm was split, half on one side and half on the other, see? And I asked them how come they didn't have any horses over on the other side of the road. Well, they said, I'll tell you, we put that over there in the green belt. He said, and we don't have to pay much of any taxes on it.
Oh.
See? All right. And come on, Hayne, and they went over there and cut all the hay and brought it over back across the road. Now, what's the green belt? What good is the green belt? Huh?
Yeah. Well, you see, they're smart. And they can figure out all them things.
Yeah, and they turn around and they claim that these horse farms are lost to knock off on their income tax, see?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they're trying to close that loophole. Yeah.
They don't want to make money on those horse farms. That's just something else. That's just a deduction. They spend it.
Now that Robin's Nest farm there, the fellow that owns that, geez, I can't think of his name right this minute. But anyway, he was a big road machinery dealer from up in Georgia. See? Making thousands and thousands of dollars off and selling road machinery up there. And he got down here selling road machinery down in here, see, and he bought that farm.
Yeah. He got farms all over.
Well, I don't know how many they got.
Yeah.
I can't think what the heck his name was. And he gave me a number of checks, too, but I can't think what his name is.
Well, now, you don't work for them people now.
I haven't worked on one of them horse farms in 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. Well, they need help.
Well, I say that. I did, too. I went up to this get-go farm last summer and put on some new doors in the office up there. Somebody broke into the office and smashed up the doors, and I had to put some new doors on there.
Well, you could... They need help over there. All those places.
Yeah.
But you're not... You don't...
Well, there's a fellow who lives down there at Orange Lake. I can't think of his name now either. But he worked for me some, putting on roofing. And he's working over to one of them horse farms, and that's about all he's doing is carpenter work over there.
Oh. And he gets his pay?
Well, I guess so. If he didn't, he'd be hollering.
What I hear from the merchants is they don't pay the bills.
Yeah, well, I've heard that too, but...
Palmer, they pay him?
Well, I presume they pay him.
You don't hear him squawking?
I don't hear him squawking about it. He sells them a pile of posts and lumber to build the fences with.
Yeah.
I know I was down there to John's one day and one of those big tractor trailers pulled in there with posts and lumber. All treated, you know, all creosoted.
Oh, yeah.
And he sent them right up there, up to this farm, and he said they don't want quite all that you've got on, but he said they can dump it right off there, and they can use what they want, and then he said we'll pick up what they don't want and give them credit for it. So,
yeah.
That's the way he does with them fellas.
Yeah. Well, he must have an understanding with them, or else he'd go broke.
Yeah.
What are we going to do first, Miss Eastman? Finish the porch before the wind blows.
Huh? Yeah, I'm going to get up there and finish that up.
Okay.
Okay. Got that gutter out of
there. Now, this is Channel 1 right around 500 or 600. In the end of the visit, Mr. Eastman, this right at the start, Friday morning, the 24th of March, 72. Channel 1 riot around 500 or 600. Well, I don't know, 500, say. And the end of the visit, this early visit, Mr. Eastman, the first thing this morning, this Friday morning, the 24th of March, 72. Channel 1 riot around 500. And the end of this little visit, Mr. Eastman, the first thing this Friday morning, the 24th of March, 72, he burnt his hand on Mr. Rutland's stove.